What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It's Fightful Select time. And we have a champion level subscriber with us again. And he did the popular thing. He hoarded his rewards. And we're doing this Fightful Books It podcast. I love doing these. But without further ado, it is Simon Willis, also known as Jace.
Indeed, I am. It's going to be good fun again. I enjoy these. There's nothing better than talking a bit of pro graps. Yeah. And if this goes on after the listing your boy 100, if you lost, I was always on Melissa's side and I loved Jason. But if you won, then I'm damn great that you won my name back.
The Melissa's name a shamer. Scrub. Melissa's a scrub, and yeah. I won't even have any of that. Well, let's talk about this. We did a Fightful Books It a few months ago where we did basically Lost Souls in WWE. It was a lot of fun. Go back, check it out. That type of stuff doesn't get old, guys. But we had some pretty much subscriber requests for this episode, and we'll get into those. So the first one that I think is obviously the hot topic right now, Becky Lynch through WrestleMania. We are filming this on November 23rd. I'll probably put it up next week, maybe the end of November, early December. Becky is the hottest thing in WWE right now, and it kind of looks like they're trying to transfer some of that to Charlotte. Mm-hmm. At least Becky Lynch seems to think so. I'm under the impression they're just trying to get Charlotte some reaction, but it's funny because people bring up the horsewoman versus horsewoman angle, which we will also talk about. But I think a lot of this plays into one another. At some point between now and WrestleMania, Jason, as much as I don't want to see Becky Lynch stripped of the title, I think it would heat her up even more. But she has to fight and beat up Nia Jax between now and WrestleMania, I think.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I agree with that. I think a good way to go is for them to strip her of the title pretty soon. I'd probably go with Charlotte winning it just because she's relatively hot at the moment, and it's good that'll just annoy people even more, which will get them even more behind Becky.
Yeah.
And then the first time she's cleared, she should just turn up on Raw or at the pay-per-view, whatever it may be, whatever the first thing is, and she should just turn up and give Nia Jax a whooping.
Yeah.
Whether it's a match or she just goes in like she did when she got her face broken, just go in and just give her a good old-fashioned mule-kicking ass.
That's what I think, too. And you could set this up for essentially the February or January pay-per-view where the winner gets a title shot at the title that isn't held by the... The Royal Rumble winner gets their pick of championship match. If Becky Lynch comes back and she's not in the Rumble, I think that Nia Jax versus Becky Lynch for a title shot sounds like a good way to go, an interpromotional match, and one that both Shane McMahon and Stephanie McMahon and Paige will all sort of agree on. That way you could have Becky Lynch either taking on a Charlotte, or you could slide her right in and, of course, face Ronda Rousey. You know they would love to have Becky Lynch on Raw right now after all that stuff. But we'll see how that goes. We have just a ton of these. I think that Becky needs to be stripped of the title because it furthers the Becky Lynch versus the Machine type of deal. But I think that Becky 100% deserves to be in the main event of WrestleMania, period. Whether that be her winning a Royal Rumble, her winning a top contender match, her winning an Elimination Chamber along the way. However you get there, it needs to build to Becky in the main event. Ideally against Ronda Rousey because we were robbed of that match. That would ideally lead to her winning a Royal Rumble. Although if she beat Nia Jax for a top contender spot, you could do that. And you could heat up a SmackDown women's title match a little bit by giving them the winner of the Royal Rumble. But Becky is she is the most transcendent thing. You've got Conor McGregor sending her tweets at this point.
Yeah, you know you're hot if he's taking the time out to tweet and, you know, let it be known. I noticed she teased a bit about him coming to WrestleMania as well, to New York, which would be incredible. But the other way they could go is have the last two be Nia and Becky in the Royal Rumble, and her have this big moment where they eliminate the last few contenders, and then they sort of turn around face to face, and then that's where you have Becky give her the whooping and she chucks her out, and it's this big huge moment. And that way, like you said, she goes to challenge Ronda at Mania. And do you know what? I would have her beat Ronda at Mania. I would have it go on last, and I would have her beat Ronda. I would have it. I don't know if I'd have her tap Ronda out, but I would have her win the title off Ronda at Mania, and that be the catalyst for Ronda turning heel, and maybe then the horsewomen turn up on the Monday after Raw.
So let's get into that. How we would book the horsewomen versus horsewomen. I think you're right. I think that's the way you launch that. Ronda's already there saying stuff that doesn't resonate well with a lot of fans. I mean, yeah. Even the most hardcore fan, like even the most casual fans, rather, they can recognize Nikki Bella and see that Nikki Bella's put in the work to improve as a pro wrestler and all that stuff. And then the things like the avocado and the millennial, I mean, my God, it just doesn't sit well. Meanwhile, yeah, she's got three super heel buddies on NXT who are going to just become more established and more established. Maybe they get, I think, a nice way to implement this is three of those horsewomen get a spot in the Royal Rumble, and they dominate maybe for about 10 spots, really heal people up, until Becky comes out, and maybe that's where you get the first interaction. You get three of those horsewomen, and we see the seeds planted in the Royal Rumble. The big turn happens.
Do you know where I would go with that?
Go ahead.
Go on. I was just going to say, with that, the only thing I would think I would do is I wouldn't have Becky face the other horsewomen in the Rumble. I'd leave the focus more on Becky and Nia, and Becky giving her her comeuppance. But I'd have the horsewomen dominate for a bit, then Bayley come in. They beat her down 3-on-1, and it's just the four of them in the ring. And then you'll get Sasha Banks comes in for the hot sort of save. They have a bit of a scrap. And then bring Charlotte in if she's in the Rumble, or you have that sort of tease, but don't have it last too long. Don't have it drag on for a sort of 10, 15 minutes. Just have it beat down Bayley, save, brawl. Maybe they all eliminate each other or some way, or maybe even, you know, Nia eliminates the, you know, and Sasha and Bayley from behind or something like that. And I would save the Becky and Ronda being added to it for the Monday after Mania. That would be me anyway, but
I would think that you would need to establish Jessamyn and Marina especially as having some sort of dominant run in that Rumble, even if it was like eliminating five or six girls out of the 30. But I think you could also lead this into they see Money in the Bank as a top pay-per-view now. That's the way they do it. They have a big five now with Money in the Bank being that. I think that's maybe June, but I think they would probably go there and they would supplement the April or maybe the May pay-per-view with that. But I could also see them being like, okay, this keeps some of these women out of the Money in the Bank ladder match as well. That way we don't have to go that route and we're not forced into one of these women having the Money in the Bank contract or anything like that. And you have a legit main event to put on here. Because, yeah, that is a June pay-per-view. So you're talking 2 months after WrestleMania. They can build this and rock with that. The only issue is they usually do an NXT show there. So I could also see it being the May pay-per-view. And then if the NXT or if the MMA horsewomen lose, they can kind of return to NXT. Because I don't know if Jessamyn and Marina will be ready for main roster runs. Not that that's ever prevented them from calling somebody up.
No, it has not. Another good way which you could do to build them up a bit and also introduce them to the main roster audience, people who don't watch NXT, is if they eventually finally introduce these women's tag team titles, but you have it that it floats. It goes NXT, it can go to Raw, SmackDown, wherever. If you have a tournament featuring, I know, four teams from each brand, and then when they, the winners of those, go ahead and face each other in triple threat or whatever you want to do it, that way you can give them some wins. You can bring back Trish and Lita, have them have a good match with the horsewomen, you know, really build up Jessamyn and, sorry, I've blanked on the other one.
Marina
Shafir. You build them up, you give them some big wins, but also you play those highlights of those next tournament matches on Raw or SmackDown. So when they have the, if they say they have a triple threat for the final and it's the two horsewomen, Sasha and Bayley, and I don't know, two from SmackDown, you, whichever way they go with the tag team titles, they don't necessarily have to put the titles on them, but you give them big matches, big wins. So by the time you get to the big face-offs, the big matches, everyone knows who they are. It's not just all their Ronda's mates. They're, you know, they're all stars in their own right. They're physical and aggressive. But
yeah, I had some say that you should build like an MMA horsewoman invasion. I don't think so. Rousey's on the roster. You want to save the invasion stuff for a group like Undisputed Era, who can come in and be basically like a pack of dogs. That's not necessarily the route that the horsewomen are going. They're going to go a more even route. And the Undisputed Era main roster run was one of them in which we saw. I wouldn't be opposed to them even adding to the group on the main roster, like somebody who fits their profile and just fits in with them. Although that four-man group is really good. They could stand to have a really big guy like a Heater, like even a Cesaro, who would fit in with those guys, but is so much bigger physically than all of them. He can be like sort of the muscle of the group. I mean, you've got a lot of guys that fit in that role. But this, to me, in WWE, is the closest they have gotten to NWO-style guys in a while. Like, they're heelish, but they're cool. But not all of them are. Only a couple of them are. So that it's a real cool dynamic that they have and not one that's easy to replicate. So I would have them come in and I would have them go over strong. And I would probably have them come up around Survivor Series time, add that fifth person, and to put them over big, I would have them debut and clean sweep a team of established WWE guys that won't necessarily be hurt by the sweep, but would make the Undisputed Era look good. Like Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio, they're not going to get hurt by losing a match to Undisputed Era at Survivor Series. But it would really, really make all those guys look on the level and above if they were to do that and to debut that way. Because, man, they are something special in my estimation.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt, they are. Adam Cole on the mic is golden. And carry on from what you just said, I would give him a clean sweep. You just think clean sweep, and the last pin is Adam Cole pinning Randy Orton. Five eliminations all the way through. The next night on SmackDown, so assume they go to SmackDown, I would have whoever the Nakamura, say, do an open challenge for the US title, and I would give it to Adam Cole there and then. And then I would also put the Cruiserweight title on one of the others, and I would make it so that the 205 Live is not... If you want to elevate 205 Live, you've got to bring in big names, so you get the Undisputed Era, but you don't pigeonhole them as, they're on 205 Live, nowhere else. You get them on SmackDown 205 Live.
We'll lump this in as well, because we have a making 205 relevant question about booking, too. It's funny how all these are tying together, because one good storyline leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. Yeah. I think you're right. You need people like Rey Mysterio popping up on 205 Live every once in a while, and the Undisputed Era guys as well. Continue. Sorry.
No. So what I was going to say is, so say you've got Adam Cole, US champion, straight after the clean sweep, and then Roderick Strong wins the 204, the Cruiserweight Championship. The following Tuesday, they come out with two title belts, a clean sweep, completely golden on the mic. They're made. So what you do then is for 205 Live, then you bring in, you have Roderick Strong beat the guys which are there already, cement him as, you know, real, real strong. They're still going from both SmackDown and 205 Live. Then you bring in a Rey Mysterio, and he has a, they have a main event match on 205 Live. And it, you know, if you want to keep the belt on Roderick Strong for the time being, but they, you know, Rey Mysterio takes him to the absolute limit. Maybe the Undisputed Era save the day when he is about to hit the three. And make it so 205 Live is not a demotion, or it's not seen as like the end, like where you go to die, basically.
Yeah.
But to do that, you've got to have people for the Cruiserweight title also competing for other titles on SmackDown or Raw. And people like Adam Cole, who are, you know, they're small, but their personalities are so big that you can, if you book them right, they can be those guys which bring it to the level where the New Japan junior division was a couple of years ago, where it was so important. It was like almost level with the world title in terms of how people thought of it. But that that won't happen if you just throw people together and you just have these dead matches with no stakes, no build, no fire. It's just a random match. And people who casual fans don't know. So by making a splash with the Undisputed Era, the fact those casual fans are like, right, they're a big deal, because like Kevin Owens, when he beat John Cena, he's a big deal because he beat the big names straight off the bat. And you've got Gargano, you've got Ciampa, you've got even Aleister Black. I think, you know, if you can cement and get some big names, get Shane Helms in there, people who casual fans know and who they think.
On the main roster right now, they have Finn Balor, Xavier Woods, Rey Mysterio. Three guys, 205 pounds and under. You could throw on there just for a one-off. Throw them on a pay-per-view. Have Finn Balor compete for that Cruiserweight Championship on a pay-per-view. AJ Styles has been public saying, oh, I'm not under 205. Have him say, you know what? I'm going to cut 10 pounds for this pay-per-view match because it means that much to me. Guy who held the WWE title for over a year, wanting to cut down, wanting that title. Perception is reality.
Absolutely. And if you think as well, if you can make it about the story as well, so say the Undisputed Era attack AJ Styles, or they, you know, they annoy him, well, you know, they're arrogant or obnoxious to him, so he wants to go and take that belt. It's not, so he wants to go, I'm going to go and lose weight, you know. Heaven forbid they use some vignettes and some segments to build it. And you say, I'm gonna lose a couple of pounds. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to take his belt. Sami Zayn, I noticed Sami Zayn said something on Twitter the other day, which about the Cruiserweight match at Survivor Series. And when they first brought the Cruiserweight show back, he was very public in saying, I don't want to go there. Yeah. But I noticed he was a bit more positive about it. Now, if you were able to build these names, Rey Mysterio, Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, the guys you mentioned also, and then you brought like a Sami Zayn in, suddenly that 205 Live product looks a bit hot, and it looks like it could be almost like a more main roster version of NXT. Because if you've got the likes of Balor and Sami Zayn and Cole and Styles, they don't have to stay there. They don't have to just be on 205 Live. Let them jump around and, you know, bring all the stories together and make it the end. Like you say, perception's reality. And if they tell me someone's important, then I'm more likely to think he's important. It's entirely up to them how much their audience cares about certain people.
We have a lot of stuff essentially booked through the next year. We have a lot of storylines that we mentioned could carry over. A thing that's going to happen around this time next year, maybe a little bit sooner, SmackDown's going to Fox, and they say that they want a more sports feel for their show. We were asked, how would we do that? Who would be the champions on that brand? Do you go back to separate pay-per-view shows? I don't think you go back to separate pay-per-view shows unless Fox pays you even more money to do that. If you do that, then sure. But I think that bringing in Daniel Cormier would be a good step for that announced team, considering he has interest, they have interest, Fox has interest. Seems like it would please almost everybody involved. But if you're looking for a more athletic sport feel, well, there you definitely had the cast to do that. Like, how do you go about doing it? Well, you just put more of the athletic guys on SmackDown. That's it. I mean, you don't – and they already have a lot of those anyway. I mean, it already is that. So, I mean, you wouldn't have to change a whole lot there in that regard. Maybe New Day move back to Raw, because even though they are athletic, they are more of a cutesy entertainment aspect of thing. You could kind of swap them out for somebody like The Revival and bring up some guys as well. I mean, on NXT, you have no shortage of people who fit that mold. Matt Riddle would be a fantastic addition to SmackDown Live there. And still, on Raw, you can bring up the Velveteen Dreams of the world, who are athletic, but a little more entertainment-based.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the first thing I would do for the, like, I would almost, not relaunch, but a bit of slight rebrand of SmackDown. I would have Cormier come in. I'd have Mauro Ranallo alongside him.
Yeah.
Straight away, that's a more sports feel in your presentation. You could probably keep Corey Graves with them as well, because I think he's excellent with Mauro Ranallo. I would bring Riddle. I'd bring Riddle up probably the night after Survivor Series, and again, you book him as a big deal. So when he comes up, much like they did on NXT on Saturday, he's a big deal because he came in and he needs someone in the face and won.
Yeah,
and you know, and I agree. The likes of New Day and Velveteen Dream, you can push guys like Braun. You keep them on Raw. Maybe you bring Ronda and the Horsewomen over to SmackDown. You know, they're going to be well-known on Fox. I think if they want a more sports feel, they need to make sure that they have the right cast. And boy, do they have a lot of talent to pick from. Ricochet. Mm-hmm. Adam Cole, AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, any of those guys, you can have it a bit more grappling-based. You know, you still have the high-flying and the wrestling. I just wish, I hope they stop with the formulaic matches on TV and make them a bit more untidy in terms of, so they look a bit more like a fight and a grapple, you know, where they're rolling around, a bit of grappling. So it looks legit instead of this very planned out thing where they've got the time, they're looking for the ads, and then you know an ad's coming because they do a dive out the ring, several unneeded zoom shots, and then there's the advertisements come in. I think it's all about, if they want this sports feel, it's about the cast, both in announcers and presentation, but also the guys they put on SmackDown. I see a lot of people saying, oh, they're going to have to load up the show with the big names. I don't necessarily think that's true in terms of what they think are the big names. I think they should be going for the more technically based, technically gifted workers who have got personality, like your Styles, your Bryans, Ricochets. Aleister Black even has got that sort of kickboxing style.
Yeah, and I think it would fit. Oh, he and Matt Riddle are going to have some barn burners for sure.
Oh,
because
I can't wait for that.
Aleister Black throws a spinning heel kick, or spinning wheel kick rather, as well as anybody I've seen. Someone asks, how do you book Sanity on the main roster? I don't know if you do at this point. I think they're slotted to what they are, unless you can have them have a breakout performance. Or the only way I really think they're salvageable is when Nikki Cross comes up, she rights their wrongs. Like, this whole failure of a run thus far is righted, because even though Nikki Cross is completely fucking bananas, she's the only one that can control them and get them seeing straight. And then I think you can kind of help that. Guidance goes a long way, especially in a situation like that. She comes up and she says, chaos is fine, but I also want to win. And then you have that. You have a new tag team that's available. You have a stable that's available and a woman that's available. That's really, I think, the best way they can go about it.
Yeah, I think she should almost be like Eric Young's like a muse, where that he is the leader, but he needed that, like you say, just a bit of guidance. But most of all, Sean, if they need to actually cause chaos, they go on about chaos and disorder, but they haven't done anything. They haven't done anything which has been remotely chaotic. It's just been match, lose. Don't see him for a few weeks, match, lose. It's you want them to be a big thing. You build them up with vignettes and you show what they're about. You show that they're a bit different. And then they interrupt random matches and just destroy everyone, Nexus style, or, ripping the ring mat up and attacking everybody and just causing chaos. Because they've not, since they've been on the main roster, they've done nothing. And I don't just mean in terms of winning or storylines. They haven't followed through on any of their taglines or their promises, whatever you would describe it as. They haven't done any of the stuff they said they're going to do. And to Bray Wyatt, as he ended up, he would never follow through on his promises or his threats. And no matter how good a talker or worker you might be, people just get bored. People want to see their favorite guys win, or at least get some heat. And if they lose the match, they get something back the next day or after the match, where they get a bit of revenge or whatever it may be. But just having them do nothing and lose is not going to build them to do anything. And I mean, they seem to be quite high up on them. The hairy guy,
Killian
Killian
Dane.
Dane. They seem to be high on him. He was up in that the Battle Royal at WrestleMania and stuff. And he's a good worker and he does some great stuff for his size. He's fallen in that trap of looking like a lot of other guys at the moment with, like War Machine and them guys. But I mean, there's no doubt he's talented, but we haven't seen him on the main roster. He was featured heavily on NXT where they show protected him. I think he took the pin the other day in the Survivor Series match. And I mean, I would have thought that's what Eric Young was there for out of the two of them, but. Yeah, am I
So,
with them? They like chaos.
another team that's mentioned is the Club, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows. This is, I mean, everybody knows how to fix that. You put them with AJ or Finn Balor, and you let all three personalities shine through because these two have great chemistry with those two guys. It's not difficult in that regard. These two are made for either one of them. And you have one on either brand, but for no extended period of time have we ever gotten that before it's given up on. It's almost miraculous. I fully expect Anderson and Gallows to leave WWE next year. They were signed to hurt New Japan, not help WWE, and that's a shame.
Yeah, I think the only thing which may keep him there is that Carl Anderson's got young kids, so maybe he's enjoying being home more.
I don't
And
know
then
that he is
they're
home
getting,
more. I don't think he is home more.
yeah.
He gets to fly home in between tours of Japan for weeks, if not a month
Yeah, I
at a
suppose.
time. He's on the road every week with WWE almost no matter what.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, do you know what I would do? I'd have Baron Corbin and Paige make a switch. Finn Balor for Andrade Cien Almas. That would be my switch. And they just like a trade. Doesn't have to be amongst the lower. In fact, I wouldn't have it amongst a lot of other trades. It would just be one trade. Make it a big deal. We want this guy. You want this guy. And I would put the four of them together. And I would have them, I'd build them up as a stable. And then when you do bring in an Undisputed Era, you've got ready made. Stable versus stable. There's history there with Adam Cole. It's perfect. But Gallows, Anderson, Balor, I'd like to see Balor have a heel run with the club. I would, because I feel like Prince Devitt was the most interesting when he was heel. I've always found him more, I just find him not, I wouldn't call him boring, but he's a bit drab sometimes.
To put it in
Get him
perspective,
together.
Anderson, I know, worked about 120 dates his last year in Japan, but he also worked, several of those were Global Force, several of those were Ring of Honor, stateside. He did some in Germany. I wouldn't mind a confused Balor versus Styles for the club storyline thing, but you really make Anderson and Gallows look second fiddle in that regard. And one of the things that made Bullet Club so successful for a long time was there was no clear leader. Like, there was no, hey, I'm the leader, hey, I'm the leader type of thing, even though people would say, AJ's the leader, AJ's the leader. Well, that the way that it made it so successful is that nobody would really claim leadership in that regard. Heel Daniel Bryan, how would you book that? Ooh, I would capitalize off of a name that many wouldn't expect right now.
You're going to capitalize off the same thing as me.
I would capitalize, well, maybe. I would capitalize off of Becky Lynch. Because there aren't a lot of people who have more genuine just reaction right now than Brie Bella, Daniel's wife. And if you can capitalize off of Brie Bella to get heel heat on Daniel Bryan and integrate Becky Lynch in there somewhere, like, say Brie is having some sort of confrontation with Becky. Daniel knows his wife's getting his ass kicked. So just something cheap, something, I'm talking like real cheap bottom level, like Becky's chasing after Brie, Daniel trips her, you capitalize off of that. He's banned from ringside that night. Becky gets the win, armbar, 2 minutes, that's it. But you have Daniel Bryan firmly establishing himself as a dickhead to the hottest babyface in the company, period. I think that's a nice way. Also, you play up that almost nepotism talking point that exists with Brie Bella. And Daniel Bryan goes to that length to where he says, you know what? Maybe I don't show up at the pay-per-view and defend my title if my wife doesn't get a main event on SmackDown tonight. And people are like, ah, that son of a bitch. I want to hear how you would add some heat to Daniel Bryan.
I think from a work point of view, I would make him a submission machine, like a real killer. Breaking bones, breaking legs, fingers, the lot. If he's in a feud with someone, he's hurting them. And make it like almost like the Man of 1,000 Holds type thing, where instead of having like a submission finisher and an impact finisher, have him like legitimize several finishers, several submissions from different positions. Build him as the guy who can finish you from anywhere. From a work point of view, that's what I would do. From a heel heat point of view, I think, Brie is where I was thinking. Is she's a bit of a heat magnet anyway because of Nikki. It's easy, cheap heat, isn't it? But there's, I think, another way to do it as well is he's got that troll-like, that troll-like personality. Turn it up.
Yeah.
Make him... He knows that he's a killer. He knows that he's a submission machine. He's not afraid of fighting anyone. He took Brock to the limit. So he knows this. So make him real, you know, so sure of himself that he's annoying. Like that guy who knows he's so good at everything that he's just so sure of himself. There's a lot of potential there to build. I'd like to see a Rusev, just a TV feud with Rusev. And heel Daniel Bryan to heat up Rusev again. Just let him have some good matches. Have it, and then Rusev's over. So you have Daniel at the end of the match. He submits him and he won't let her go with a hold. Put him out for a month. So there's an actual reason why Rusev's not on TV, because Daniel Bryan broke his ankle, whatever it may be. Actually helps two people, because instead of Rusev just being forgotten about, he's been written off TV. So when he comes back, he gets a bigger pop. He's trying to help more than one character at a time. But yeah, I'd have him as that troll, like, I'm good and I know it. Because he has the perfect personality for that.
The Revival, that's a team that I just think, what all you need the pep talk, essentially. Sort of like how I always thought the club should have had one, where they're told they got signed to huge contracts. They're not living up to it. Live up to it or you're gone type of thing. the club or the Revival needs somebody to do that, because honestly, they get over in the ring. They are outstanding storytellers. All they need is a chance. That's it. That's how I book them. You put them in prominent tag team matches and watch the tag team division get over as a result.
Do you know who I'd put Corey Graves with them.
That's interesting.
I would have Corey Graves become, you know, Heenan family stable, where he had like Andre and some other stars with him. I would have Corey Graves come out and say he's fed up of sports entertainment. He's fed up of the tag team division being written off as unimportant and just basically ignored. And you have him speak for them, because they're all right on the mic, but they're not, you know, they're nowhere, they're not amazing. And you let their work speak for itself. Tag team wrestling can be a draw if you let teams like the Revival go. So I would give them Corey Graves, and I would have him maybe pick up a couple of other stars who need a mouthpiece. And he's got the perfect personality again for like that smug heel. He can talk, he's intelligent, and I think he can help them get over, because like you said, their ring work speaks for itself. And if they get a push and they put the highlight on tag team wrestling, they've got some incredible tag teams within their ranks all over the place, whether it's NXT, SmackDown or Raw. They've got some great tag teams. I've always loved that idea that you had for the Gallows and Anderson, which you just mentioned there. I think that's just the perfect way to heat them back up.
Yeah, motivation works pretty well. We have some quick hits, too. How would we book Asuka and Nakamura for the 2019 Royal Rumble? Well, I would have Asuka be the Iron Woman. I think that should be a thing, a recurring thing for Asuka, is that she is successful in Royal Rumbles, even if she doesn't win them. And for Nakamura, honestly, I would have him get eliminated really quickly, because his gimmick is that he is the troll who hates being trolled. And it's kind of funny, because essentially the way we've talked is Daniel Bryan stealing all of Nakamura's gimmicks, from kicking AJ in the balls to being a troll. Nakamura like teasing and like not taking it seriously and then getting eliminated really quickly. That is also a very easy, quick way to set up a United States title program for the following month. So whoever eliminates him, they get the U.S. title match. You build that. I remember when Fatu accidentally eliminated Steve Austin in the 96 Rumble, they made a story of it and they wrestled on Superstars a couple weeks later. Austin beat him. So, I mean, that the Royal Rumble shouldn't just be used to put somebody in a title match that's not going to main event the damn show, which kind of undermines it a little bit. It should also be used to set up feuds, to create moments, to get some face-offs and some interactions that you can't get otherwise. It is an easy, cheap way to kickstart something, because, hey, I'm pissed off at you, you eliminated me, is such an easy way to start things.
Yeah, and you've got the whole, basically the whole roster in the ring. You could start numerous storylines throughout. Like you say, you eliminated me or whatnot. Face-offs, they're always good. But you know who was in the Rumble last year, didn't you? It was Adam Cole. So going back to what we said about, or what I said about winning the United States title on his first SmackDown after a clean sweep of Survivor Series, could work just as well if he eliminated Nakamura in 10 seconds after they were in together, because Nakamura wasn't taking him seriously, and Adam Cole gets him out. There you go. You achieve the same thing again following Tuesday. Adam Cole versus Nakamura for the US title. Asuka, she just needs to go on a winning streak again, I think. I think if they went back, they almost replayed the same type of streak, she would get over. The fans want to like her. They wanted her over Charlotte to face Ronda.
Yeah.
And I mean, have a similar to what I just said about Daniel Bryan. Go on a run. Break some arms. Beat some people. Her versus Becky Lynch. If they could build Oscar up to like being where she was and keep Becky as hot as she is, that could be, that could main event a big show as well.
It's easy to do this on live events too. She can win a match and then say Zelina comes out and says, well, I want to face you now. And then an immediate armbar. You get 2-for-1 there.
Absolutely. Doesn't take long. The amount of shows they do doesn't take long to suddenly have a 20-0 streak or whatever, you know, 20 win streak. You can get that in a couple of weeks, the amount of shows they do. And like, you think how hot Oscar was when she came to the main roster with that massive unbeaten streak. She was over. Put that up against Becky now, and you could have some real moments, a real hot female feud. And they haven't achieved that very often over the last couple of years, or ever, really. It's not very often that some people females are as hot as Becky Lynch is currently. She is, I think she's the hottest character in the whole of the wrestling world, not just WWE. Yeah.
Who would we book to be champion first, Lashley or Drew? Personally, I'm going with Drew, but I'm not opposed to Lashley having like a flash 1 week title run and then dropping it again if you need a transitional guy. But if you're talking about building for the future, I don't know that I see Lashley as an intercontinental title guy, not a world title guy now.
Yeah, I agree with that. This is my personal opinion. I would put Drew over Brock at Mania. Yeah. It seems like they're gonna keep the title on Brock to me. Like, you might know different, but I mean, I think they're gonna want him to take it to the UFC fight. So I think they don't seem to want to pull that final trigger with Braun. And whilst I think Seth versus Brock Lesnar would be an incredible match if Brock's got his working boots on. I'd have Drew not dominate him, but convincingly beat Lesnar. Because Lesnar, for the last 2 or 3 years, has barely lost. He's only lost to Reigns, I think. So, I mean, they've got to give someone that rub of beating him clean from when he beat the Taker and he's been on this terrific run. Someone's got to get that rub who isn't Roman Reigns. Like, Roman Reigns isn't there now. And because they focus so much on him, they're in this position where they need to build multiple stars because they've got a huge hole to fill and no one is built as or as protected as real. In fact, the closest thing to being as protected as Roman is probably Drew, because they have protected him real good. So I think, Drew, I would definitely put title on sooner rather than later. Bobby, I think, is upper mid card, you know, US title, intercontinental title to me. But like you say, he's a handy guy to have because he's got that MMA background and he's so big. If you have an injury to your champion, he is someone who could step in, win it, hold it for a month, drop it to whoever you want him to drop it to. He's a good utility player to have, I think.
So Brock versus Seth at WrestleMania 35 is rumored. How do we get there? That's easy. Have the Royal Rumble winner face Brock Lesnar. Have them face off in what is the biggest marquee match on the show, although I think Rousey and Becky Lynch should headline that show. Seth wins the Rumble, and you have Brock poke the bear with the Roman comments between now and then, to the point to where even Paul Heyman is like, that's too far. And Paul Heyman may distance himself a little bit from Brock, saying that, like Brock can say, well, you know what? I overcame my illness. Sorry that Roman's too much of a pussy to overcome his. And like little shots like that. And Seth is such an underdog, can play that so well against Brock Lesnar. I think that's how you rock it.
Yeah, I like that. And you could, remember when Brock said to Heath Slater, I don't give a shit about your kids.
Yeah.
You can imagine him saying that to Seth about Roman Reigns. And do you know what? I was thinking this the other day. It's a bit far maybe for some people, but if Roman is doing well, and obviously it's a big if, we don't know the situation, how he's doing. If he's doing well come February, March time, and you really want to put some heat on Brock, and build. You could have like Roman out, you know, coming out of a hospital or something like that, and just have Brock attack him if he's fit and he's healthy enough and it's, you know, it's not a problem and he's okay with it. You have Brock attack Roman outside the hospital or his house purely to taunt Seth. And yeah. By the time Mania comes around, Seth would be, to pun, on fire. He would just be, because people would hate Brock so badly. And yes. Seth, everyone likes him now already, but he would be uber hot. Blue Chew hot.
Here's one.
Don't fight for.
Here's one that's brought up a lot. NXT Invader on SmackDown. Which 5-on-5 battles would you set for Survivor Series where it's NXT versus Raw, NXT versus SmackDown, also NXT versus five-person roster, because why not? I think that's a good idea. Raw, SmackDown, and a women's. Now, here's the thing, and I love this question from Graham, but what you would have to do is establish behind the scenes an entity that was not Triple H, because Triple H is the only guy who could orchestrate this, ideally. We wouldn't buy it being Stephanie McMahon, because that's his wife. You would need an element of reality to this. You would need to hear that somebody, whether it be Vince McMahon or somebody else, was trying to hold down NXT talent. You would have to plant a story. Maybe Shane McMahon is getting some increasing stroke backstage, something like that, because Triple H would have to be like, no, these are my guys, and this is the future, and this is what we're going to do. You could just make Undisputed Era one of those teams. Yeah. They are one of the teams that we mentioned, and I like that. If we're talking
Undisputed Era versus the Club.
Yeah, Undisputed Era versus the Club, and then maybe one other. Yeah, you or if you're doing 5-on-5, you could throw someone else in there. I'm sure they will have somebody by that time who has been in Bullet Club or some fashion where you could kind of tie that together. But if you're looking at women in NXT right now, it's kind of slim pickings unless you go horsewomen on that roster. You have Bianca Belair, who doesn't necessarily look like she would get along with everybody else. How would you book the women's side of things? Because you definitely don't have two women's teams for Raw and SmackDown. It would have to be one collective. They could do horsewomen there, but you got Rousey, who is on the main roster.
Yeah, so I think if I was going to go with not the horsewomen, I'd go with Io Shirai, Dakota Kai, Kairi Sane.
Then see, I think the main roster main roster women got to win that one.
Yeah, but then I just want to see Asuka versus Io Shirai and Kairi Sane. But you could have, the problem is there's a slim pickings for real top tier females because they only build one storyline at a time on the main roster for the females. So it's just, it's like once you get past Becky and Charlotte and the horsewomen storyline, like who's hot apart from Ronda? Like who's really like a character that's over that you could say, yeah, I want them in my match.
Yeah.
Bayley and Sasha are just, they're dead and buried until they bring this tag team division to SmackDown. You've got Carmella who's entertaining with R-Truth, but I mean, she's done not a lot since losing the title. The Iconics are already fodder for everybody who needs a win.
This is a tough one. So you're limited. This is a tough one to book because you know that a giant portion of this roster right now is going to be on the main roster come November. And the thing is, like, what do you do? Do you integrate people who used to be on NXT into that? Well, that's almost the whole roster at this point. With a couple of exceptions. Like, you have the Usos and Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles and Braun Strowman who haven't been, but a lot, so many of these people have already been in NXT. But quite frankly, I think it needs to be an authority versus authority thing. Triple H essentially leading his guys against Vince's guys or someone, Shane or somebody like that. We would have to go back to that.
Also, yeah, I think I like Triple H versus Shane. That would be good.
Yeah. How do you book Roman once he returns? They'll probably book him the way he always was, as Superman, because guy would have overcame cancer. But how do you? I don't know. I mean, I think that's honestly probably how you do book him early on.
I mean, when he comes back, he's, you know, it's going to be huge pops. I'm still not convinced that he's not, if he gets the same treatment booking wise, that it's going to play back the same way. Because, you know, people respect the guy, Joe, and they're sad that he's ill and, you know, they want him to overcome it. But it was never him that was the problem. It was his booking. So if they try to rerun the same booking, I'm not sure it's going to work again.
Yeah.
And saying that, knowing Vince McMahon, he'll come back as the biggest baby face he's ever been. He'll finally be where they want, and they'll turn him heel on the first night back. That would be a very Vince-esque thing to do.
If and when Miz turns face, how would you book Daniel Bryan versus The Miz? I think pretty much the way that they have been, Daniel Bryan claiming that The Miz is a wimp and not a hard worker when everybody knows better.
Yeah, they do.
I would have an authority figure kind of set Daniel Bryan straight on that. Like Paige, who was a take no shit type of woman, be like, listen, I know I've had issues with The Miz, but you can't question his work ethic. Why do you keep saying that? That goes a long way, having somebody like Paige step up and say that, because she doesn't take shit.
And she's got credibility. When she speaks, what she says makes sense and is true. Very rarely does she say something pointless or full of holes or lacking in logic. She's a competent GM. So that's the way to go if you want to get. It's like it's a little logic gap, isn't it, where Brian is saying these things which aren't true. Everybody knows they're not true, but no one ever addressed it on commentary or even The Miz. Like, they never said, hang on a minute, that's, you know, objectively untrue. So that's the perfect way, is to have Paige do that. I did not enjoy The Miz as a face the last run he had. It was cringeworthy.
Oh, yeah.
And before he turned face, I thought he was going to be incredible because he had the crowd saying, this is awesome, that, you know, like going along with his chant and stuff, awesome. And, you know, it looked like he was going to be a big stud face. But boy, did they drop the ball with that.
Yeah, I think that really The Miz needs to say virtually the same way he does. I mean, he already gets Miz's awesome chants. So why change it?
Yeah, don't change it. Why? I wish sometimes they would just let there be that lines between baby face and heel.
Yeah.
These days, everyone knows his work. Everyone knows Becky Lynch is working on Twitter. Everyone knows that Ciampa and Gargano are friends in real life. But they want to go along for the ride. If you make it interesting, compelling, and you reward them for going along for the ride. And you reward them for watching TV every week. It's frustrating, but people will come on board if they give the bit of grey area. Don't change him. Don't make him this pandering baby face who's kissing babies and, you know, doing all that jazz. Keep him as he is, as the sort of slightly arrogant wannabe movie star who is entertaining. Why is that? Why do you need to change that? Face or heel?
As we wrap up, is there any other like particular talent storyline that you want to see unfold?
Well, as you know, I'm a bit of a Bray Wyatt mark. I think they missed a beat a couple of times when Braun's been outnumbered and beaten down, where they could have just had the lights go out and Luke Harper and Bray be stood in the ring. I think that would have been a huge pop. You could have reunited the Wyatt family temporarily and then let Braun go and do his thing.
Braun as like almost a de facto leader, and Bray even saying that leading hasn't worked for him and he's ready to follow.
Yeah.
That would be good. Yeah. And then eventually you get the heel turn. Ooh, that would be good. It'd
be unbelievable. And I think, go ahead. I was just going to say, when Bray gets back, he's going to get a huge pop. Because I looked on Twitter the other day to see if people were talking, and everyone's saying, where's Bray? When's Bray coming back? Where's Bray? Get some vignettes going now. You know, the old Save Us Y2J, where they had like weeks of people trying to work out the code and who it was. Do some mystery vignettes. You know, eventually people know who it is before it happens, but create a bit of mystery and a bit of intrigue instead of just formulaic, same old rubbish.
Make
it different.
He had some heat on him before he left, too, because of some things about his personal life carrying over into his professional life. But let the people know where they can follow you on social media.
At Sign1927.
You guys know where to follow me. Hey, guys. That champion level tier, request columns, alternate commentaries. I have some people who want me to do those instead of retro reviews because I get to focus like 20, 30 minutes on one match. Lots of neat stuff. But I want to thank the infamous Jason for joining us. Any parting words?
Nothing other than thank you, sir. I enjoy it. You know I do. It's good stuff.
It's always a blast to talk about how badly people book things when it's not that hard.
Yeah, that's the most frustrating thing, is it's not difficult to book these guys. How difficult is it to book Bray Wyatt? You know? Basic wrestling booking. Creepy cult leader.
Guys, we're always adding stuff to Select. Let your friends know. Until next time.